Try Therapy Notes, the number one rated electronic health record system available today. With live telephone support 7 days a week, it's clear why Therapy Notes is rated 4.9 out of 5 stars on Trustpilot and has a 5-star rating on Google. Therapy Notes makes billing, scheduling, note-taking, and telehealth incredibly easy. And now, for all you prescribers out there, Therapy Notes is proudly introducing ePrescribe. Try it today with no strings attached and see why everyone is switching to Therapy Notes, now featuring ePrescribe. You can get 2 months free by using promo code CHAT at therapynotes.com. Trauma Therapist Network is a website to learn about trauma and how it shows up in our lives and to find a trauma therapist. Go to traumatherapistnetwork.com to find a trauma therapist near you today.
Are you going through menopause or perimenopause? It can be a struggle to find comfort in your body with night sweats, hot flashes, and so many other uncomfortable symptoms. Hormone Harmony is a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause, created by Happy Mammoth. They are dedicated to making women's lives easier using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout women's lives. So Hormone Harmony isn't just for menopause. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it, but it's perfect for those horrible menopause symptoms that put a woman's life on hold. Hot flashes and night sweats, racing thoughts and low moods, poor sleep and feeling tired all the time. For a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code CHAT at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code CHAT for 15% off today.
Therapy Chat Podcast, episode 248.
This is the Therapy Chat Podcast with Laura Reagan, LCSWC. The information shared in this podcast is not a substitute for seeking help from a licensed mental health professional. And now, here's your host, Laura Reagan, LCSWC.
Today's episode is sponsored by Therapy Notes. Between writing notes, filing insurance claims, and scheduling with clients, it can be hard to stay organized. That's why I recommend Therapy Notes. Their easy-to-use platform lets you manage your practice securely and efficiently. Visit therapynotes.com to get 2 free months of Therapy Notes today. Just use the promo code TherapyChat when you sign up for a free trial at therapynotes.com. Hi, everyone. Today in early October, I'm recording an introduction to an interview I did all the way back in January of 2020 with my guest, Elisa DiNapoli. And we talked about her work as a clinical hypnotherapist and clinical hypnotherapy coach in the UK. She specializes in helping people who have performance anxiety. And I think that you'll find this to be a very interesting conversation if you have ever been curious to learn more about clinical hypnotherapy. So as always, thank you for listening to Therapy Chat. I hope you are enjoying the new episodes that have been playing the past couple weeks, and more new content is ahead. Until then, be well. Hi, welcome back to Therapy Chat. I'm your host, Laura Reagan. My guest today is Elisa DiNapoli. Elisa, thanks so much for being my guest today on Therapy Chat.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm really glad you're talking to us all the way from Scotland right now. And I'm really interested to hear more about your work using clinical hypnotherapy. But before we dive into really talking about it, can you just tell our audience a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Sure thing. So I have been now a holistic clinical hypnotherapist for about 20 years, more or less. And also I do coaching, and I'm also a performer. So I've got a special interest in helping people that in some way or another, perform on stage. But of course, that's not the only thing. When I say perform on stage, I mean anyone that needs to be seen, needs to be heard, maybe needs to present something. So that's one of the things that interests me. But also, I'm really interested in helping people with anxiety. And I guess my specialty is, you know, I come from the point of view of my training had some neuro-linguistic programming. Also, I like to include coaching in my hypnotherapy and hypnotherapy in my coaching. So that's something that I feel works quite well. And yeah, so as I said, I'm also a performer. I do, you know, singing and composing and drumming and basically anything to do with music, because I feel it's on the other side. It's my other passion with psychology, you know. So what else? Originally, you know, I got into hypnotherapy because I studied philosophy and Eastern philosophies, altered states of consciousness, and I can tell you a little bit more about it if you like later. But yeah, that's pretty much it. And apart from that, I am also an author. I've written a book about helping people with performance anxiety become more confident.
And that's needed.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, it doesn't matter whether you are an actual public speaker or just need to go for an interview to get a better job. You need to be able to feel comfortable being witnessed, if you like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and that's, you know, that seems really important. I don't know, for me, I could think of several people in my life and probably myself could benefit from your book because and maybe your work directly, because putting yourself out there is so hard. And
absolutely. Yeah. Go on.
Well, and, you know, with my work is helping people who have trauma. So, you know, it can be extremely vulnerable to be seen when you maybe grew up with that you needed to hide or you weren't showing up fully as yourself, wasn't really welcomed within your family.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I can say that for myself, but also from having seen a few people with performance anxiety, having had trauma in their life, and that's one of the reasons why it shows up. It's not the only one, but a lot of the time it actually does come from an event that was traumatic for them, mm-hmm. even though it might not seem perhaps traumatic to other people, but it is an event or a series of events that would have been upsetting, and they're still upsetting a lot of the time, but not always. I still remember what it was, but think that, you know, ludicrous that it might be still influencing their life in the present moment. But usually when we do hypnosis, we find out that it is quite a lot still influencing their behavior.
Yeah, that's interesting. And, you know, I mean, this might sound so cliche, but there's two things I think of when I think of hypnosis. One is obviously like the magician, you know, who mm-hmm. hypnotizes someone in the audience and you don't know if it's real or not. You know, right. That you see in on, you know, films or on TV. But the other is, as a trauma therapist, you know, sometimes people will say, I need to be hypnotized so I can remember my traumas because I'm, you know, mm-hmm. I don't remember it and I want to be hypnotized so that can be, I can remember, which, you know, I'm always like, well, I don't know. I don't know. Is that really... It's, I don't know, that those things sort of throw me off, but I recognize that there's an important role for clinical hypnotherapy, but I don't really understand exactly where it fits. So can you talk about that a bit? Just like, what does the clinical hypnotherapy that you do, how does that look and how does that help?
Okay. So first of all, I want to just address the first thing you talked about, which was about stage hypnotism. You know, there's a big misunderstanding that can arise when the only thing people know about hypnosis is stage hypnosis, because stage hypnosis is a show, and it's actually, you know, it's giving the wrong idea about what hypnosis is, because it's putting all the power of hypnosis into the hands of the stage hypnotist. But actually, the reality is that the power is actually in the hands of the subject. And if you have ever noticed, stage hypnotists always do exercises before they invite anyone on stage, because they need to know who is going to be susceptible people, you know, who wants to be hypnotized so badly that is going to be collaborating. Because if somebody doesn't want to be hypnotized, well, there is no way that they can be. But the reality is that what hypnotism actually is a very, very natural phenomenon that happens every single day. You know, when you go to bed, when you're falling asleep and you've got fleeting images in your mind and you're kind of aware of the sounds outside, but you don't really care anymore, and you start having sensations, perhaps previous dreams or things that happened during the day. Basically, you're in an hypnotic state. It's just that it's natural and nobody has induced it, particularly, you know, and you're not really doing anything specific with it. You're just kind of letting it happen. So that's the hypnotic state. So what the all hypnosis really is, self-hypnosis, when you use it positively, you're then, that's where the power comes from. So to answer the second question, which was about talking about how clients sometimes say, well, I want to know whether I, you know, where my trauma, what happened in the past, and maybe hypnosis will help. Well, it's a bit tricky because memory, as you know, is not precise. You know, it's always colored by emotions. So, you know, of course, hypnosis couldn't be used in a court of law to prove that, you know, the person might have been abused by a family member or somebody else because of that. You know, it's very much not facts, you know. But having said that, if someone has a memory of something traumatic, in my opinion, it doesn't really matter whether it really happened or it didn't happen, because if the person believes that it did, then in some way it is traumatic for them. So we need to deal with it. Mm-hmm. So I'm very, very pragmatic, you know, in that way. And so the way that I would deal with that is I've kind of put together a protocol, if you like, of different techniques that work, at least until now, have worked a charm, you know, have really worked well. And the reason why I've used these techniques and put them together is that they come from different traditions, if you like, or different disciplines. But if one doesn't work, the other one will. So, you know, I like to just cover all corners and angles and make sure that the person actually, after this 1 hour of intense hypnosis, they have a real change, you know. So we measure how upset the person might be before they go into it. And then with a mixture of techniques such as, I don't know if you know about these ones, but I'll just mention them. The rewind technique, sometimes it was called the fast phobia cure by NLP practitioners, but then it got changed into the rewind techniques by the Human Givens Institute, and havening, and some EFT, so emotional freedom technique, and some EMDR. Just put them all in okay. together, and I found that when I use these techniques together, it really makes a difference. Because at the end, I would measure the level of, you know, upset that the person has when they think about the traumatic experience, and it's quite amazing. You know, sometimes the person just feels they've been able to transform it into simply a memory rather than something that triggers them.
Yeah, so it's not about finding information that's hidden. It's more about changing the relationship to the memory or the information that's there.
Absolutely. You got exactly that. It's about being able to reprocess it so that it doesn't trigger the amygdala anymore. It doesn't, you know, the pattern matching that has happened between the trigger situation and the emotional response is changed, you know. So the person doesn't get triggered anymore because they have been able to recall the event. Usually we go backwards. One of the things, you know, the rewind techniques involves going backwards, reviewing backwards the events, for example. That's one of the things we do. So that basically the memory is almost scrambled, if you like, and it becomes more fuzzy, or perhaps the relationship between the person and what they remember is changed in the sense that they might see it, they might feel more distant towards it. You know, like it's something that happened that sure wasn't great, but it's not happening now, you know? Mm-hmm. It's in the past.
Yeah, so yeah. It's That makes a lot of sense to me that they know it happened, but it's like when our trauma gets activated, it's like that trigger causes the person to feel as if it's happening right now. And you're saying that this gives like some space between what they know happened and the painful emotions that go with it.
Yes. And it transforms it into a story. Also, you know, havening allows them to self-soothe while they remember the events. And then, you know, things like EFT, I use that so that the person also can, you know, say things like, I choose to let this go, it's time to let it go, you know, and it makes them feel empowered. But also the hypnotic element of it really helps, because when you're in hypnosis, when you start with the hypnotic process, then you will be much more relaxed than you normally would be. And so therefore, that really helps to calm down the amygdala as well. So, you know, you can actually remember the things that have happened without being triggered emotionally.
Right, right. Yeah. But it seems, you know, I think what is so challenging for people who've experienced trauma is that they, when the memory comes involuntarily, or even if it's a sensation that, you know, that their body is remembering, even if they don't have a conscious thought about the experience, the overwhelming flooding of emotion that stops them from being able to really be present in the here and now is what's so awful about it.
Yes, yes. And that's exactly why before doing that, before rewinding the memory, the person needs to be in a state of deep calm. You know, their parasympathetic nervous system needs to be engaged, because then remembering it, it's more like a movie. You know, they're watching the events almost as if it's a movie on a screen. So they're not in the event anymore. It's almost as if it's happening to somebody else, if that makes sense.
Yeah, but without being dissociated, where it actually feels like it is someone else. It's like you still know it's you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's also like different, you know, levels, you know, because for example, you can ask always the person how they feel, whether they're ready to go into the memory. So first you probably review from a distance, almost as if it's you're sitting on a sofa and you're watching this movie of you going through those events. Then when the person is ready, they can go through the events and be in the events, but actually they change the memory. So I would ask them, for example, for everything to go backward, which is you know, one of the things that they need to do, but also, you know, they might, I do this so many times, like usually, typically at least 6 times for each memory. Each time the person goes backwards, they might change the colors of the movie if, you know, they can visualize it. So maybe it becomes black and white instead of color. They might put a music that goes with it that's very, you know, jarring and not, you know, it might be even at some point when they're ready for it, it might even become a comedy, even though, of course, you know, trauma isn't funny at all. So I always want to be respectful. But, you know, you'd be surprised how many people can in the end even smile about it, you know, because whenever I make sure that everything is almost absurd, because it's so unnatural. You know, it's not like it really happened. So it kind of scrambles the real memory and it becomes something a bit different, you know, that they are in control of. So also they always have a remote control, you know, a virtual remote control, of course, where they can stop at any time, you know, so they are always in charge. And of course, before I get to do this, I would say, you know, it's very important that I'd give the person some tools that they know that at any time they get overwhelmed, they can calm themselves. So I would give them what in NLP is called an anchor, you know. So what that means is basically I would first of all elicit a very, very calming feeling of safety, of peace, you know, and then tell them, okay, every time you, for example, press together your thumb and the index finger of your writing hand, this feeling of your peaceful place will come flooding back, so that anytime you feel you're getting overwhelmed, you go back to your peaceful place. So this makes it safe, you know, to go through the process as well.
Mm. So the you teach the person or help them to find a peaceful feeling and then be able mm-hmm. to access it by doing the same, you know, movement or gesture mm-hmm. to elicit it yes. again. That's very interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Because, you know, they've associated it. Typically, I'd use something like pressing together the thumb and the index finger of your right hand just because it's easy. And I would have them practice this again and again so that they know that every time they do this, they can bring back those feelings of calm and safety. And then once they are they've mastered that, they are confident with that, then we can get into the trauma treatment.
So you do, I know you used anxiety as the thing that you often help people with, but you do use this with people who have trauma too, right?
Oh yes, 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 of course. Yeah, I do. I see people with all kinds of troubles, and I don't, you know, even though I specialize in anxiety, just because loads of people have anxiety and they've come to see me for it, so I've become, you know, I've got a lot of experience in that. But then, you know, there's all kinds of problems that people come to see me for. And really, for me, it's important to know every time what's going to help them. So, you know, if there is trauma of some kind, we need to work on it. You know, I'm not going to let it go past me. You know, it's important because if we don't look at it, then it's going to affect the therapy. It's not going to be as effective, you know. So I try, of course, you know, if there's things I can't work with, I will refer the person to somebody else. But I am interested basically in what's most important to me is in tailoring the therapy to the individual and finding out exactly what's going to work for them, you know, what technique is going to work for them.
It's very cool. So who is a good candidate for clinical hypnosis?
Well, I suppose, you know, maybe it's easier to say who's not, but...
that could be a good way to explain it too.
Okay, so the people that wouldn't be a good candidate are people who suffer from psychosis. Because during the hypnotic process, they might have actually a psychotic episode. So that's not a good candidate. Also, yeah. You know, also if someone has got very strong clinical depression, probably not a good candidate because they would find it very difficult to access positive memories and they might become even more depressed. Of course, this isn't, you know, as to be taken with a pinch of salt because there are certain hypnotic techniques that would help. But it would take a very skilled hypnotherapist, someone with a lot of experience. So I shy away from treating people with depression, not because hypnotherapy isn't good for it, but you really need to know what you're doing. And, you know, so that would be the case. And also, I couldn't treat someone who cannot hold concentration. So some people with ADHD, for example, I couldn't help really. If you can't concentrate, it's not going to work. Or if you have, you know, any kind of disability that makes it impossible for you to hold their attention, such as, for example, Alzheimer's, you know, I couldn't really, I wouldn't think hypnotherapy would be good for that kind of person. And also young, very, very young children. So, you know, from the age of 5 is fine, you know, I guess it wouldn't really work for the same reason that I've just mentioned with really young children because they haven't got power of concentration, if you like, developed enough. Yeah. And also basically the final one is if the person doesn't want to be hypnotized, it's not going to work. If the person comes to see an hypnotherapist because they're trying to test hypnosis, it's not going to work because testing hypnosis basically means somebody thinking or saying to themselves, oh, I bet it isn't going to work, you know, just like a stroppy teenager. And that in itself is a suggestion. That is a suggestion. And your mind is going to, their mind is going to react to that by saying, okay, yeah, it's not going to work. So, you know, there's no point. You've got to want to be hypnotized.
Let's just pause for a moment so I can give you a little bit more information about why I love Therapy Notes. I switched to Therapy Notes a few years ago. I'd say it's about 3 years now, I believe. And I have never regretted it. I was very happy with the EHR I used before, but Therapy Notes is more intuitive. I love the interface. The customer service is fantastic. And I love how I can get my notes done quickly because I can customize the template that I use for my notes, and there are opportunities to put check marks rather than having to write out the intervention used. So I have cut my time spent writing notes way down, which is wonderful because I like to focus on seeing clients. I know documentation is an important part of our work, but it can also be time consuming, and that is why I love using Therapy Notes. If you are considering switching EHRs or you're looking for one to use in your practice, give Therapy Notes a try. You can get 2 free months by using the code TherapyChat. Now let's get back to our interview. Yeah, I think that's good to know. I didn't know that someone can't be hypnotized if they don't want to be. I mean, it makes sense as you're explaining it, but I never knew that because, again, you know, and I hate to use that example, but the magician idea, the stage hypnotism, like you said, it's, you know, it does make it seem as if I have power over you and I'm going to make you.
But if you think about it, the people that go on stage, they want to go on stage.
Right.
You
know, they're hoping they it'll work. Yeah.
Yeah. And they also can use it as an excuse to just do the very things they normally want to do, but may feel too repressed, but
inhibited.
You know, inhibited. Exactly, that's the word. So they've got permission, you know. That's basically a permission slip. You can be as silly as you want to be and as over the top because at the end of the day, well, it was hypnotherapy. Hypnosis made you do it.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Do something wild and extreme because, well, I didn't know what I was doing. I was hypnotized.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I see that. And of course, I mean, it is probably all staged anyway. I don't know. But I'm glad you're making that distinction because I think probably if I hadn't asked that at the beginning, that may have been what would be going through some listeners' minds as we're talking about this. And that can get in the way of actually being able to take in the information, you know?
Oh, absolutely. You know, hypnosis is a skill. It's a skill that can be developed by anybody who wants to develop it. It's more an attitude, you know, it's a way we speak to ourselves. You know, the mind basically is influenced mainly by the way, the words we use in our own minds, the way we speak to ourselves and the images that are elicited when those words are spoken. You know, so if you speak to yourself in a negative way, you're going to get that negative result because if I say to you right now something like, you know, don't imagine an ambulance on top of a hill on fire, well, what have you just imagined, you know? And the reason for that is that you, you know, the subconscious doesn't, well, cannot associate anything with the word don't, but can associate objects, you know, with the word ambulance, hill, fire, you know, they're things. And don't is not a word. So when you say to yourself things like, I don't want to be overweight, or, you know, I don't want to be, I don't want my throat to get parched when I speak on stage, well, you're actually suggesting the very thing you don't want, and you're going to get it.
That's interesting. But even as you're talking about it, I can totally feel like I almost started to feel my throat to get dry, even though, you know, it's not even my issue, but it's like start happening. So that's so fascinating how that works.
Yeah. You know, there's even covert hypnosis, like people that basically, you know, suggest things, and it's, you're not hypnotized in the sense that you're not formally hypnotized, you're not in a deep hypnosis, but, you know, if I were, for example, was to present you with a, say a carton of eggs, and I opened them and I was with you in the kitchen and I just opened this carton of eggs and then I went and I cracked one and went, ooh, right? Even if the egg was absolutely okay, you know, you would most probably assume it's not. You know, and that's a form of hypnosis. It's just basically assumptions, you know, you are responding to my suggestion that these eggs might be rotten, you know. And if I said to you, what do you think? Do you think this is all right? You might think twice before saying it's okay, you know?
Right. It's like, well, I thought it was, but now I'm not so sure. Right.
You know, and also, you know, we're hypnotized all the time by the media, by, you know, ads. All of the time, and it's just negative hypnosis rather than positive, but it's still pretty much hypnosis. It's not, you know, again, induced in a formal way, but, you know, it uses emotions to make you feel, unfortunately, a lot of the time negative, like, you know, insecure about your appearance. You know, I have this shampoo because, you know, then you will be able to attract the opposite sex. And really what it's saying is your hair as it is isn't good enough. So, you know, and then repetition is part of it. The more you repeat something, the more it goes in. So then, you know, you go to the shop and you buy that specific brand of shampoo without even knowing why. It's because you've seen it, I don't know, 100 times on TV.
Yeah, that is so true. I remember when my kids were little, there was this commercial that used to come on the TV shows that they would watch. And the commercial was for this purse that was an organizer purse. I mean, it was, to my mind, it was a tacky, ugly, it was a purse I never would have dreamed of carrying. And the first time I couldn't find, oh, where are my keys? I thought they were here in my purse. And my child helpfully piped up, oh, you need the organizer purse, you know?
Oh, my God.
I'm like, oh, no, like, what happened? Somebody's brainwashing my kid.
So, yes.
So it's like, very true.
Since we were getting hypnotized all the time, we might as well hypnotize ourselves in a positive way. You know, really, hypnosis is conditioning. So we're getting conditioned constantly. So we might as well take the power back, you know.
Yeah, in our own. I like that idea. And I'm getting curious while we're talking too. I'm thinking, does your music side of you, your musical side, work with your hypnosis at all? Because I know, like, for example, you said you're a drummer, and I'm just thinking about how hypnotic drumming can be if you're just drumming like on bongos or something like that, and it can become very kind of, you can go into like a trance state.
Oh, yes. And, you know, when you're in flow, basically is when your subconscious is taking over and you're not thinking about what you're doing anymore. And that especially is true with drumming. In fact, if you try, if you start thinking about anything in drumming, you know, unless you're a virtuoso that has been doing it for, I don't know, 30 years, you will interrupt that flow and you will drum much worse, you know. And for any musician out there, that's what's happening when you're getting anxious on stage or even off stage. You know, if you start thinking, oh, maybe I'm not good enough. Oh, maybe, you know, that wasn't quite perfect. Oh, damn, I made a mistake. You let that becomes your conscious mind interfering with the state of flow. And so basically it would be just as bad as, I don't know, starting to think, oh, do I really know how to drive a car? If you're driving a car automatically, you know, your subconscious knows how to do it. But if you start doubting it and going, oh, well, maybe I don't know. What if I put my foot on the brake at the wrong moment? You know, and then you're more likely to actually do the wrong thing and create an accident, you know. So, of course, that would be really bad if you're driving. But if you are drumming, it's, you know, it's a little easier. But the other, you know, it's okay. Like, you've made a mistake, it's fine, you know. But you can also use that kind of positive self-talk. So, for example, when I drum and I get onto a piece of that, a part of the, you know, the music sheet, perhaps that it's difficult, the passage, difficult passage, I can feel myself tightening my muscles and starting to, you know, tense. And the one thing that helps is to repeat just before I get to that passage, repeat again, again, again. It's easy. It's easy. It flows, you know, whatever is going to work, you know, it flows out of me automatically. It's easy. It's an easy passage. I can do it, you know, and just saying that helps me to relax and just go with it. But if I were to say, oh my God, it's coming up. Oh my God, what if I make a mistake? You know, panic, panic. panic, I'm going to make a mistake. It's good. I can guarantee.
Yeah, that's cool. That's really interesting. It also makes me think of like what you said about the driving the car. It makes me think of like a child learning to ride a bike, and they think they don't know how to do it, and they're afraid because the training wheels aren't there. But if they just relax and let themselves feel the way the bike is balanced and just go with that, which is like a flow state, you know, because you have to just feel what's happening and adapt to it with your body, then they can just ride off.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the way we learn is we go from, let me get this right, unconscious incompetence to unconscious competence. But there's also other stages, you know. So from unconscious incompetence, we can get to unconscious to conscious incompetence, and then we get to I always get all confused, but basically, you know, at the beginning you're not aware that you don't know what to do, and then you're aware that you don't know much about what to do, but you're learning, and then you get to the point that you can, yes, you can kind of do this, you know, you can kind of drive that bike, you can stay balanced, but you have to really think really hard about it, and then eventually it becomes unconscious and you just don't have to think about it, your body does it for you.
That makes sense. Yeah, like unconscious competence.
Yeah, exactly,
I guess. I mean, I don't know exactly if that's what it was, but yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, you got it right. Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah.
Wow. So I guess the last thing I want to ask you before we run out of time in our conversation is about, when talking about the music and the flow state and the drumming, made me think about like the audio. I've listened to obviously like guided meditations and things that help you fall asleep. And, you know, I'm wondering, is that part of what you do? Do you include like auditory stimuli in your hypnosis that helps people get into that state of trance, if that's what you call it?
Okay, so you mean like a background music, that kind of thing?
Yeah, or like something in the ears that is making like a, like I'm thinking of like binaural beats and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I wouldn't obviously be able to do that in the therapy room, but when I've made recordings, sometimes I've included that, you know, a specific frequency, or I have experimented with sound like white noise, but I always try to do it very subtly, because, you know, there's one thing I can't stand when I listen to hypnotic recordings and guided meditations, which is basically the same thing, and it's, you know, dolphin sounds and new age, you know, I can't stand it. It's just too much for me, you know. So I try to make it subtle and neutral, so that anyone listening doesn't get put off, because it can have the opposite effect. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's nice to have something there, so it's not pure silence, but perhaps not. If you start making music, it can get distracting.
Yes.
So I'm a bit careful with that.
Yeah, that makes sense. Definitely. Well, Lisa, if someone were interested in your book, what would they gain from your book? How would it help?
Well, so my book is not just for people with performance anxiety. It's for people with anxiety in general, because, of course, it is focused on performance anxiety, but the first few chapters are really about anxiety, what it is, and what's going on when you are anxious, and how to overcome it, and how to reduce it. And of course, you can't never overcome it completely 100%, because anxiety is pretty normal, but it's when it becomes too much that we want to reduce it a little bit. So they would definitely get an understanding of what anxiety, how anxiety operates. And then the second part of the book is very practical, because I think that's really important. You know, I wanted to offer people an opportunity to work on themselves and get the benefits of hypnosis, even if they, you know, don't live in the UK or Edinburgh, or can't see me, or, you know, for whatever reason, maybe you can't afford hypnotherapy. So it's like a way to I teach people how to hypnotize themselves, and I give them instructions, one in 10 different sessions, on how, what to do in each one of those sessions that they can record for themselves. So they can become their own hypnotherapists, if you like. You know, of course, I've also recorded the sessions myself. So if the person can't be bothered to do that, well, they can also get the sessions already made. But I wanted to offer an opportunity for people who do want to experiment and learn about how to create a self-hypnosis session for themselves that's tailored to the specific problem in this case. Well, they can do it. So it depends really what how much work a reader wants to put in the book. If they just want to learn about anxiety, they will get that. If they want to work hard at and, you know, resolving their issues with performance anxiety forever, you know, not just a temporary cure that's going to work for, I don't know, a few days, but something that actually has proper results in time, well, then they'll get that if they commit to the process.
Wow, that sounds like an amazing resource.
Well, I tried to put together something that was like, you know, I mean, it's not even all of the things that I could have put in there. There's a whole other book that I could write about it, but this is just the beginning for people that are terrified, you know, of being seen, being heard. And then the next one, if I ever write it, it's going to be about how to master it, the whole, you know, how to become really, really good at performance. But that's a different story.
Oh, wonderful. Well, I don't think I even asked you for the title of your book. What's the name of it?
So the title is Dare to be Seen, From Stage Fright to Stage Presence. And then the subtitle is, see if I remember it well, 10 Easy Steps to Overcome, Not to Turn Your Performance Anxiety into Authentic Power with Transformational Hypnotherapy.
Wow, that sounds wonderful. Well, you were saying that you have a gift for our listeners, is that right?
Yes, I thought I'd give your listeners the book for free, the ebook, so they can just grab it. It's tinyurl.com/dare-to-be-seen. So that's tinyurl.com/dare-to-be-seen. And they'll find everything there. They'll be able to download the book.
Thank you. That's wonderful. And I will put that link in our show notes so that people can get that. I'm going to get it. I can't wait. And so thank you very much for that in advance from me.
And well, let me know what you think.
Yes, I will. And where can people, if they wanted to work with you or wanted to find out more about what you're doing, where can they find you? What's the best way?
Well, then the best way would be to go to hypnotichealing.co.uk. That's my website. It's hypnotichealing.co.uk. So all the information is there in terms of my hypnotherapy. Yeah, I also have another site for my music, but that's a different story.
Do you want to share that?
Sure. If you want to listen to my music, it's the name is ElisaVulpes.com, and so that's ElySA, Elisa Vulpes is VULPES. That's just my mom's surname, so that's why I use that .com.
And well, I'll put a link to that too.
Oh, all right, thank you.
And that's not .co.uk, it's .com.
No, that's .com, yeah.
Got it. Elisa, thank you so much for being my guest on Therapy Chat today. I really enjoyed learning more about how you practice and even the concept of self-hypnosis is very fascinating to me.
Yeah, it's been a great chat. Thank you. I really enjoyed it.
Today's episode is sponsored by Therapy Notes. There are many ways to keep your practice organized, but Therapy Notes is the best. Their easy-to-use, secure platform lets you not only do your billing, scheduling, and progress notes, but also create a client portal to share documents and request signatures. Plus, they offer amazing, unlimited phone support, so when you have a question, you can get help fast. To get started with the practice management software trusted by over 60,000 professionals, go to therapynotes.com and start a free trial today. If you enter promo code THERAPYCHAT, they will give you 2 months to try it out for free.
Thank you for listening to Therapy Chat with your host, Laura Regan, LCSWC. For more information, please visit therapychatpodcast.com.
Try Therapy Notes, the number one rated electronic health record system available today. With live telephone support 7 days a week, it's clear why Therapy Notes is rated 4.9 out of 5 stars on Trustpilot and has a 5-star rating on Google. Therapy Notes makes billing, scheduling, note-taking, and telehealth incredibly easy. And now, for all you prescribers out there, Therapy Notes is proudly introducing ePrescribe. Try it today with no strings attached and see why everyone is switching to Therapy Notes, now featuring ePrescribe. You can get 2 months free by using promo code CHAT at therapynotes.com. Trauma Therapist Network is a website to learn about trauma and how it shows up in our lives and to find a trauma therapist. Go to traumatherapistnetwork.com to find a trauma therapist near you today.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.